We are less than a month away from the biggest World Cup ever, right here in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I'm Heath Pierce, former U.S. men's national team player with stops in the Bundesliga, MLS, Denmark, and Sweden. And I'm also the host of Orange Slices, sponsored by FanDuel Predicts. Orange Slices is the place to bring your World Cup memories to life. The people, the moments, and the stories that don't always make the highlight reel, but help shape everything we love about this game. Think of it as your soccer hang all summer long. Listen to Orange Slices wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the Baseball Insiders. I am Robert Murray, joined here by Sports Illustrated Will Laws, extremely talented guy. Thrilled to have him on the show here today. And we have an absolutely loaded rundown here. We got plenty going on in baseball. I'm excited to break it all down. But Will, how's it going, man? Happy Wednesday.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited for my Baseball Insiders debut here. And we have a lot of different talented people from Sports Illustrated on every week here. And I'm happy to join the rotation.
No, for sure. As Will said, we've had a ton of people from Sports Illustrated on. Huge thank you to him for facilitating that. And it was long overdue to make this happen here today. So I'm thrilled to have him. And you can catch my work on fansided.com. As I said, you can catch Will's work on Sports Illustrated. You can also see me on the Baseball Insiders newsletter. I can see me in the Discord where I do a Q&A every Thursday from 3 Eastern to 3:30 Eastern. We're also doing a great run or a great giveaway here with Louisville Slugger, where you just need to tell us why you fell in love with baseball, what made you fall in love with it, and you can end up winning a VIP tour of the Louisville Slugger facility. You can get flights and also hotel for two. Super cool opportunity, something that I'm super passionate about. I filled one out. Again, I cannot win it, but still, it was cool to submit it and show people why I fell in love with baseball, aka my dad. Will, why did you fall in love with baseball? I'm curious.
You know, one of my earliest memories is actually my mom won tickets to the first ever game at Turner Field in Atlanta through McDonald's Monopoly. And that's one of my earliest memories. I was not even maybe 5 years old yet. And I remember going through the crowd to that game and seeing the first ever Braves game at Turner Field. So that was definitely one of the moments for me.
No, that's freaking incredible. And the Braves have been awesome this year. I hope Anthopoulos goes forward at the deadline. I don't know if they're going to get a Scooble type, but I'm sure you're probably hoping for something big, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've really outplayed their talent so far. They've had a bunch of injuries. Shortstop hasn't really worked out for them. I think they could be big game hunting at shortstop there, but there's definitely room for some more help in the rotation. Some guys have really played above their heads and done a great job, but I think they'll probably be looking to go for something more of a sure thing once the playoffs come around.
No, for sure. And this is just my own speculation, but with the Giants rumors, and we're about to get into that here in a little bit, could a guy like Willy Adames, could he possibly be someone who's a fit? Because Anthopoulos really prioritizes clubhouse guys. Big contract, obviously, and Adames is one of the most well-regarded guys in ball. So I wonder maybe if you could check in, but again, we'll probably find out through a press release what Anthopoulos is doing
with him. Yeah, those guys are a tough nut to crack. But it's really interesting because their two shortstops they have, Dubon and Kim, they're kind of the top two guys in the free agent class of shortstop, which isn't a great free agent class. But it seems like that would be, even though they have the top two guys in the free agent class, they still aren't good enough where they wouldn't want to upgrade with someone like Adames here at the deadline.
No, for sure. And again, Anthopoulos is great at finding the under-the-radar guys. Dubon's been awesome for them. But let's stick with the Giants here because this has taken over my phone, taken over the internet. They are now reportedly open to moving guys like Rafael Devers, Matt Chapman, Willy Adames. What were your thoughts when that came out? And do you think any of those guys could actually be moved?
Well, I thought it was interesting that there's a reason why that was so public, why we know that they are available, because they are high-priced guys who those contracts might be a little bit underwater, and they're basically publicly saying, hey, does anyone want to give us prospects of worth here? We're open for deals, because they have obviously really disappointed this year, and I think that those guys are going to be – they would take a lot of money to pay down if they're going to get prospects in return, but they are still valuable. Like Matt Chapman is leading all third basemen and a bunch of defensive metrics. His range is still excellent, and he's been right around 20% above average the last few years on offense. And there are some contenders who need a third baseman. Like the Yankees haven't gotten a lot out of Ryan McMahon like they thought they would. The Phillies, the Alec Baum saga has been going on for years with them now. The Reds have an opening there too, really. So I do think Chapman, out of those three, is the most likely to, you know, fetch a positive return for them and generate interest.
No, and it seems like maybe you had a sneak piece or a sneak peek at the piece that I ended up writing and filing to FanSided it a little bit ago. But I talked to some rival executives who said the exact same thing, that Chapman, if there's any of those guys who's moved, could end up being the most likely guy, is for the exact reasons that you just said. His defense, his offense, like if you add him to a team like Philadelphia, which is what these executives think would be a really nice fit for him, that would solve their third base issue. I don't know what exactly you do with Alec Bohm if you'd move him to the Giants, or I mean, I don't know if you would because they have Casey Schmidt there, but
yeah,
maybe find a different place for him. It opens up a bunch of different possibilities here, but I'd still be me. I would be a little surprised if any of those guys is moved, but I think Chapman's the most likely, but Luis Arraez definitely very likely to go. Robbie Ray the same. The name did not forget about everybody is Harrison Bader. He's signed 2 years for $20.5 million. I could see Philly being a great fit for him. He was acquired by them last year. I think you draw a ton of interest from these teams trying to improve their off-field defense. So, we're going to be talking about the Giants plenty, though, for sure.
Yeah, and with RAE's, like, I think he is such a good fit for the Giants, such a good fit for that ballpark. He doesn't try and hit home runs, and he's improved his fielding with Ron Washington a lot over the offseason. And if I were them, I would honestly maybe try and extend him if he's open to it. He didn't get a ton of money on free agency his last time around, and I think if they're both sides are open to a deal, I think it would make sense. But as you're saying, it is more likely that as a rental, he gets dealt somewhere.
Yeah. And also that's a good point by you, because they could definitely extend it. They got money available and his defense has improved. Ron Washington's going to be there as long as Tony Vitello is there. He was clearly comfortable being there in San Francisco. He's turned down multi-year offers in the offseason. That's something that myself and a lot of other people had heard at the time. So I could see that being a possibility. I also wonder too, if they could trade him and then bring him back. It's something I've floated out with. I mean, maybe a Freddie Peralta type where the Mets could trade him and then bring him back in the offseason. There's a bunch of different ways that they can go about this. But I think the extension thing is, I think that was a good shot by you for sure. And also, too, speaking to the trade market, I know you have a big trade piece coming up here that's going to be on Sports Illustrated. I want to say tomorrow, if that's correct. Give us some insight into what you ended up writing there for sure.
Yeah, it'll be tomorrow, Friday, and we're going to rank the top 20 or 25 trade candidates, give their best fits, and predict one place where we think they're going to end up. It's a tough task to whittle it down to one team, but we've had some success last year. We predicted last year 20 out of 25 guys, like whether they would be traded or not, and we nailed a few landing spots with actually Bader to the Phillies and Lorion to the Padres, so maybe the outfields are a specialty, but I think outfielders and quality bats are going to be in a bit short supply this year, but we'll be ranking our top 20, 25 candidates based on at least guys who could get dealt and how valuable they are ranking wise.
There, I love it. I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you don't mind, but give me from that piece, your boldest prediction that you have for the deadline, whether it's a Scooble type or whether it's Jaren Duran, like what exactly is bold on that list that we have?
Well, I think the two, I don't know if this qualifies as bold or not, but I do think Byron Buxton, Joe Ryan, if the Twins really go downhill, like Byron Buxton he's really in the power seat, right? He has the no trade clause, but the big bats are so scant this year. There's a ton of good relievers and starting pitcher arms out there, but the bats are in such short supply. If the Twins get like a really great offer for Buxton, which you would assume they would, that can they – and they go downhill, could Buxton be convinced to maybe go to his hometown of like the Braves, or I'm not just saying that as Atlanta native, or some other place, a contender, because he wants to contend at his age. And if they can find a deal that he would approve, I think that would be could work for all sides, really.
No, that would make a ton of sense. And if they do move a guy like Joe Ryan, that could probably convince Buxton to waive that no trade clause, and it would be. I could see that Atlanta. I could also see Philadelphia. I could see so many different teams being involved in that, because for such a talented player, that contract is also very doable. That would throw this deadline upside down. That's been the piece that a lot of these teams have been eyeing up for a while. So if that happens, it's going to be total chaos. And I will make sure if it does become available, I will be crediting Will Laws for being first on the story, as long as you're okay with that.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, I'll take any credit where I can get it.
we love it. And I'm very excited to see that. As far as him, Joe Ryan, like we saw Jeff Passan's piece today where he ended up mentioning him as maybe one of the more likely guys. I think I can't remember what his odds percentage was, but still, like, that's a guy that a bunch of teams would have to be after for sure, right?
Yeah, and the Twins, we actually have Buxton and Ryan as our top two of our top three guys in the ranking if they were getting dealt in terms of trade value. And Ryan is definitely the more likely to get dealt. He was really the last, one of the last couple of guys from last year's fire sale who was a realistic target, who was actually getting talked about traded, who wasn't. And I do think that even though there are a lot of quality arms out there, teams could go, you know, a different route. There's a lot of options out there, but he is very consistent. He's young. I think he's a great option for teams. And this is his last year before free agency. So if the Twins do fall out of it makes a lot of sense to deal him.
No, and doing that with any expiring contract, I think, is always smart, especially if you're out of contention. That's why I think moving Freddie Peralta would be really smart for the Mets. But switching gears to someone who's not on an expiring contract, but he's controllable for at least the next 2.5 seasons, Reed Detmers. This is a guy, I'm not kidding you, every rival executive who I've spoken to has mentioned Reed Detmers to me. It is remarkable. Like, the amount of interest that's going to be had in him, it's going to be a lot. Do you think he's moved? Yes or no?
Man, I think that the Angels are really going to, they have a couple aces up their sleeve right now with him and Soriano. They're both signed for a couple more years. Mm-hmm. I mean, Detmers is fourth in the league in strikeouts right now. And I think he's around the same in wins above replacement among pitchers too. So he could receive quite a big return. And I do think the Angels, if they, you know, they have a guy, a GM there who in Manesian, who has been there for a few years, and he must be feeling some sort of pressure for the Angels to contend at some point. Maybe he holds on to him when he shouldn't, but I think it'd be the smart thing for the Angels to deal Detmers. He's having a great year, but he's never pitched quite like this. And I do think it'd be a good idea for them to sort of sell high on them. Even though he's been decent in the past, he's reached a new level this year.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's been awesome. And he's always had this ability in the tank. But as you said, this has been the first year where it's all come together. And it would fuel and get that Angels rebuild started that we've been calling for, honestly, ever since I've gotten into baseball. It's legit. They've delayed it. And I wonder if it's Perry. I think Artie Moreno probably has a lot to do with it there for sure, because he is against rebuilding and wants to contend. But Detmers is going to draw a ton of interest. And I could see almost every contending team checking in on that. But there's a lot of skepticism that he's ultimately going to be moved, because Artie's been very hesitant in moving some of these guys in the past. That being said, it would be very smart of the Angels to listen and see exactly what they can get, because the Nationals, they did not want to trade Mackenzie Gore. And then all of a sudden, the Rangers came calling and were aggressive, and they offered Gavin Fien, the player that the Nationals coveted and that Paul Toboni really loved, made him available, got others that they wanted, and got an offer that was too good to be true. Who says they can't get that for Detmers, Soriano? We'll see. I they should listen. I think they will listen, but in the end, probably more likely that a Jorge Soler or Brent Suter or someone else is probably moved. But the Angels definitely team to watch.
Do you think Detmers or Soriano out of those two, who do you think is more likely to get dealt? Like, because Detmers has been kind of more consistent throughout this year. Soriano had that blazing hot start, and he's kind of fallen off now. I mean, which one do you think is more likely out of those two?
That's a great question. I would say, okay, I'm going to preface with this, that I don't think either of them are going to be traded. But if one were to get moved, I think it would be Detmers, just because the interest is going to be so strong that I think that the Angels might be in a position where they can't turn down an offer. So either way, the Angels win this thing, because if they keep Detmers, they have an emerging pitcher who's controllable for at least the next 2.5 years on their roster, can headline the rotation. But if they move him, you get that rebuild start, you can end up adding another top prospect or two. That would make so much sense if I'm the Angels. I would strongly, strongly consider it. Maybe even a guy like Zach Neto. I wouldn't be surprised if they listen on him. I think that makes some sense. But otherwise, like, they have a bunch of different interesting trade chips, but I still think we hear about all these names and then we're talking about, oh yeah, they just moved Soler and Brent Suter. So yeah, we'll see here for sure. But this deadline too, there's a lot of teams who are on the fringe trying to compete for the postseason here. No real teams that are running away with it besides your Atlanta Braves, among others. But what executives do you think are under the most pressure come the deadline here?
Well, I think one is Mike Elias with Baltimore. He's in his eighth year in Baltimore, and they've still never won a playoff game. it might Brendan Hyde was kind of the sacrificial lamb for them early on last season, and they made an obvious push with getting Pete Alonso and making some other moves with Taylor Ward, where you think that there was some sort of playoff directive this year, and that's just they are not like they're on the outskirts of the race right now, but they haven't looked like a playoff team so far. And I think he's going to be under some pressure to make some sort of move and get the Orioles actually in the thick of the playoff race, because it's been a long time there. And it seemed like they were ready to kind of mature into a contender a couple years ago. And now they've swung the other way for 2 years in a row now. So I think he's certainly one of them. I think another one is if the Mets, we've been hearing Carlos Mendoza is safe. So what does that mean for David Stearns? Can he survive missing the playoffs the last two seasons? I mean, they have the biggest payroll in baseball, and he has obviously is highly respected in the industry with what he's done with the Brewers. But he made a lot of moves this offseason, basically cycled out the Mets' entire core, and it has not gone well. So no. I think those are the two main guys who, for me, have gotten should have had contenders on their hands, and they do not so far.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And I also would say Craig Breslow. That's I can't pronounce. It was a Modder 15 in the comments suggested Breslow, and that was a great shout. That was the first two that you mentioned. I'm right there with you. But Breslow too, with all the heat that he's getting, this is a crucial deadline to either get this thing right or just get this team back in a position where they can contend. And I don't think that they should buy. I think this is a team that should absolutely sell at the deadline unless they go on this magic run before that forces them to buy. But you have a Sonny Gray type who I think would be a great fit for the Cubs. Cody Williams, who's a lovely editor at FanSided, was the one who put that on my radar, and I'm sticking to it. I think that was a great shot by him. Wilson Contreras is also a great fit there. But this is a guy that he wanted the flexibility after moving Devers. Barely did anything with it besides getting Gray, Contreras. They had impact bats. I swear I mention this on every show at this point. It was so obvious, and yet they just didn't go out and do it. And I think Breslow's under a bunch of pressure. But yeah, him, Michael Elias, David Stearns, all under pressure here.
Yeah, and with the Red Sox, they've had an outfield logjam for what feels like 2 years, and it still hasn't been rectified. So what, like, is Duran finally going to get dealt? Is Abreu on the table? It just feels like they've had this obvious place to with which to upgrade these resources, and nothing has really happened there.
No, it's kind of baffling at this point. What exactly, like, there's it's usually having that kind of depth is a good thing, but it seems like they have to do something at this point. And they should have maybe done it a while ago and sold hiding out like Jaron Duran, where you had AJ Preller coming and calling and trying to get him. And that was a guy that he absolutely coveted and didn't end up getting a deal across the finish line. So I'm fascinated to see. But also, how have we not mentioned AJ Preller as yet for the deadline? Because this is Mr. Trade Deadline himself. I know we don't have it on the rundown, and but we have a bunch of people in the comments here who are Padres fans. Yeah. But if you're AJ Preller, how exactly do you go about this deadline? Do you go all in? What do you do?
I mean, he already dealt his biggest chip last year for Mason Miller with Leo DeVries. He's in the A's system now. And I mean, the Padres, I remember seeing some insane stat from a few weeks ago where if games were seven innings long, they would have the worst record in the majors because they were having these crazy comebacks in the last couple innings, and their offense was not waking up until then. And now they've really been regressing like toward the mean. And offense is the obvious place for them to upgrade. They also, their rotation has a couple holes in it too. I mean, I wouldn't say Preller is under pressure because he seems to have really like found himself a home with the Padres, and he always has them competing, which is more than you could say for the, 10 or 15 years before he was there. But I don't really see, he's either going to have to double down and the many times he's doubled down before, or kind of just, go with what he has. But it doesn't seem like they have enough offense. They have too many struggling stars with Machado and Merrill. And, there's a couple other names I could say too, but yeah, it's they're in a very odd situation there.
No, it's extremely odd. And I think you said it, but I'm glad you said it, but Preller is not under pressure. He just ended up doing an extension with them before the season, right at the start of the season. So he's safe, but he's a guy that I know everyone across baseball is always wondering, what's this guy going to do? And I remember I've told this story before, but I'll say it again because I think we have some new people here in the audience today. But we have I asked him at the at the GM meetings. I'm like, what's exactly like, what does it look like for you at the trade deadline? And he told me how little sleep he gets, how he runs on like, what was it? Fruit by the foot, and how he relies on like chocolate milk. Like the guy is, he is absolutely incredible. Like he is
more like than I thought. Okay.
I'm telling you, AJ Preller is just like us. He is, he's one of the best things that's ever happened to baseball. And honestly, I truly believe that with how aggressive he is and how he operates a baseball team. I would do the exact same thing if I was him. And I think it's really cool. And I hope this new ownership group that he's going to be working with allows him to spend, because having him trying to keep up with the Dodgers, oh, is a blast for sure.
I'm sure the old ownership group is thanking him for really boosting up their franchise value, because I don't think they would have gotten as many they did without him really making them into a contender.
Because I mean, they sold for right around $4 billion, which is totally like, that should be something that's so celebrated. And I would imagine that's also going to be a key talking point here for the Players Association and these CBA talks, not to go down that rabbit hole. but a small market team like that selling for $4 billion shows just how great of a place baseball is in. And that was definitely a really cool thing for the Padres. And I think they'll be spending plenty. That's at least my impression right now. But something that the Padres are going to have to deal with here is Tanner Scott. They had him at one point, and then he signed with the Dodgers in free agency. And he's a guy who last year struggled, but now looks incredible. He seems like he's back. What's been the key for him, and how important is that for the Dodgers? How important is that for the Dodgers, and like, how does that change up their deadline plans?
Yeah, I mean, he looks just like he did during his 2024 All-Star campaign. He's entrenched there at the back of the Dodgers bullpen, which was the big concern for them going into the playoffs last year. And Sasaki sort of temporarily solved that for them. But now I'm sure they feel better about having Scott doing well back there. And I think this allows them to go big game hunting at the deadline instead of having to worry about the back of their bullpen. They could go out and get a guy like Tarek Skubal or Byron Buxton for the outfield. Like they have so many good outfielder prospects that they can afford to let go of a few for like a real difference maker. And that would make the top of their roster even more stacked than it already is. But I think that's what makes more sense of them to, at this point, to get even more star power, because their bullpen looks better than it has in the past couple of years when they already won the World Series. So I think this allows them to even go bigger.
No, I totally agree. And how crazy would it be? Like, because you said they have these outfield pieces that they could end up moving. Let's say, hypothetically, this is, again, before aggregators hit this one, I want to make sure this is not me reporting anything, but how crazy would it be if a guy like James Tibbs was used as a headliner to get Skubal, where the Giants trade him for Devers and then he's used to get Skubal to the Dodgers? That would be bonkers. I don't know if that's actually like a legitimate thing. But
that's something you would do if you're the Tigers, right? If you get Tibbs and another premier prospect I'm of the opinion that if they can get hot here and get back in the mix, then sure, keep Skubal. But if you're going to be like down in the standings as they are right now, like I feel like you are obliged to trade him for a massive package like that would be.
Oh, totally. And that would be great prospect maneuvering, or just great trade maneuvering by the Dodgers, using Dustin May to get Tibbs and then Tibbs possibly for Skubal. I know we're going down a crazy rabbit hole here, but it's still fun. This is what I live for here for sure. One guy that we do know that is not going to get traded is Peter Armstrong. He was a guy who was extended by the Cubs before the season started. And there was a bunch of different scenarios that they could have discussed here, whether it was the short-term deal that they did for 5 years, or if it was a contract to keep him in Chicago for the remainder of his career. But he's really putting on an absolute tear right now. Looks great. What have you seen from him so far that just fueled this breakout?
Yes, I actually saw a great breakdown from him. Sean Casey on MLB Network did a deep dive on how he's changed his stance in recent months. After he started out really cold, he moved closer to the plate and he adopted like a bigger leg kick, with his legs starting a little closer together to start and doing a bigger leg kick. And that seems to have kickstarted this mega hot streak he's on. It's interesting. The All-Star votes came out the other day and he's 14th among National League outfielders. And I think it's absurd for the guy who's leading position players in like Baseball Reference WAR is 14th in NL outfielder voting. I think there's a few reasons for that. One, a lot of his value is fielding, and that isn't properly appreciated in all-star voting. Two, he had a really slow start to the year, so early voters were not voting for him. And three, he's had a bit of a heel turn with opposing fans, and I think there's some rival fans who are never going to put down PCA's name, even if he's the best player in the league. And also, Cubs fans don't seem to be voting that much. There are zero Cubs in the top five of their position, which they're middling right now, but they had a bad May. But that's very odd to me. For some reason, the Cubs fans are, maybe they forgot to put out the ballots at Wrigley Field. I don't know. But
yeah, no, it's always possible. But I mean, that's a team that's always had a very passionate fan base. So you would think that they would be voting for these guys, especially PCA or some of these other youngsters who are just kind of taking over for them. So that's crazy to me. But finally, last question for you is, it feels like there's one guy who's been kind of going under the radar here as far as trade candidacy goes. And maybe I'm imagining things, but it's Taylor Ward. We mentioned him earlier in the show. What do you think his trade candidacy looks like if the Orioles actually do sell?
Yeah, man, something I do not want credit on is that once the Taylor Ward, Grayson Rodriguez swap happened, I loved that deal for the Angels and was clearly wrong. I thought that they were trading a rental outfielder for a guy with 3 years of control, and Rodriguez has not found it at all this year, and Ward has reinvented himself in Baltimore. Really, he leads the American League in plate appearances up there at the top of the lineup for the Orioles, and his on-base percentage is over 400. He's really embraced being a leadoff guy. Now, he has sacrificed some power. He only has 3 homers this year after hitting 36 last year, but his career high, like 19% walk rate. He has really changed himself into a different sort of player based on what the Orioles have needed, and that has been one of the few things that have gone right for Baltimore this year. So if the Orioles fall out of it, I think with Elias under so much pressure, I would be surprised, or at least, you know, this is nothing I'm reporting, but it seems like he would be under pressure to get the Orioles to the playoffs. I would be surprised if Ward is dealt unless they really go out of it, but I think his value would be really high for a bunch of different teams, like 400 on base percentage, that'll fit in any lineup. So
no, they totally would. And I'm anxious to see exactly how that plays out, how the rest of the stuff that we talked about today plays out. But Will, I cannot thank you enough. Sean Daly, our lovely producer for the day, we appreciate you. Everyone in the comments, appreciate you. This was terrific. Let's do it again here sometime soon. But yep. Take care, everybody. We'll see you back here next week on the Baseball Insiders. Thank you, everybody.